Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to Nahastan anila nijone go shabothya, nijone go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. from an annual benefit concert to protect an Arctic ecosystem and cultural survival of the Gwich'in Native peoples. The CD is entitled Arctic Refuge, A Gathering of Tribes, recorded by Soundings of the Planet. The song we heard was entitled Cry of the Forest by Lummi Indian Chadas Kadum. I had the honor to meet Chadas Kadum when we both were speakers at a North American Association of Environmental Educators conference in what's now called Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The NAAEE's theme that year was Weaving Connections, Cultures, and Environment. Chadas Kadum and I spoke together on a conference panel about the need to incorporate Native knowledge, ethics, and wisdoms into public education. ANWR refers to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, sacred land to the Gwich'in and Inuit indigenous peoples. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, ANWR is a very special environment that is home to a diversity of wildlife species. It is also a site chosen for energy development by multinational corporations who want to drill for oil and gas. Yatkinishi Native Center has been an active defender of this sacred place since the U.S. Congress first began hearings and proposed legislation to allow energy development in this area now called Alaska. We continue to fight to protect this northern tundra ecosystem, as well as the rights of sovereignty and self-determination of the Native tribal nations whose homelands includes the ANWR area. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to continue to help the struggle by supporting the Gwich'in, whose website is www.gwichinsteeringcommittee.org. Once again, to help the Gwich'in Nation, visit their website, www.gwichinsteeringcommittee.org. I chose the song Cry of the Forest in honor of today's program guest, Julia Butterfly Hill. Julia Butterfly Hill is an Earth Justice Warrior. She is one of my heroes and someone who is very inspiring as she works to help protect Mother Earth and make the world a better place. Julia Butterfly Hill is well known as the woman who tried to defend an ancient redwood forest from logging by Pacific Lumber Company. She did this by living high up in a giant redwood tree for 2 years. Julia's beautiful book, The Legacy of Luna, is the story of her 2-year experience tree-sitting and trying to save the redwoods. Her personal story has many meanings and teachings for everyone. Learn from her great teacher, Luna, the tree elder. The Legacy of Luna is a very special and important book, which I encourage everyone to read. I will not tell you any more about this book in order for you to discover its beauty and wisdoms yourself. Julia Butterfly Hill created Circle of Life, an organization whose mission statements, and I quote, "Circle of Life activates people through education, inspiration, and connection to live in a way that honors the diversity and interdependence of all life. We believe that you, yes you, make the difference in the world," unquote. In the fall of 2005, Circle of Life took their message on the road with their We the Planet bus tour, partnering with the Democracy Matters Network. This cross-country tour visited nearly a dozen universities, colleges, and conferences in order to ignite student activism on campuses nationwide to become active in a range of important issues I term social environmental justice, such as threats and impacts of globalization. We the Planet bus tour made it to Southwest Florida in a beautiful November day in order to speak at Florida Gulf Coast University and Edison Community College. I had the honor to help organize Julia's visit, since I am a board of advisor member to FGCU's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, which co-hosted Miss Butterfly Hill's 2-day Southwest Florida tour. During her visit to the homeland of the ancient Colusa Indians, now called Southwest Florida, I had an opportunity to briefly interview Julia, which we will share in today's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program. We the Planet bus tour's visit to Southwest Florida was very important, since this area is well known to be very affluent and politically very conservative. The majority of people here generally favor big business, with many former chief executive officers, and chief financial officers who live a luxurious retired country club lifestyle. This predominantly rich white Southwest Florida community seems to have little concern for the many serious socioeconomic and environmental issues, either of this region or the world in general. Southwest Florida is also an environmentally sensitive ecosystem, the western edge of Pahiogi, the Seminole Miccosukee term for the Everglades, which is undergoing major rape and rapid destruction from so-called development. Julia's visit to the region provided another important opportunity to publicize in our area's media a number of important environmental issues those of us are here fighting for. Julia Butterfly Hill's lecture at Florida Gulf Coast University was also very important for our young university, where a major focus of FGCU's mission is ecological literacy. Her presence helped reminded everyone the importance of this curriculum and again highlighted the special work and accomplishments of FGCU's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education. Julia and I are kindred spirits. We both have dedicated much of our lives to protecting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Julia and I love trees, and we both fight huge timber companies that destroy forests and watersheds. Julia respects the world indigenous peoples and supports our rights of sovereignty and self-determination as Native peoples, as Native nations. Julia and the Circle of Life also support social and economic justice, knowing that these inequalities are also part of environmental activism. Julia Butterfly Hill understands that one's inner spirit and outer spirit need to grow together, and that being an Earth justice activist is based on a spiritual connection to Mother Earth and all of our relations. As we say in my native language, Kinon Wontakwasin. Before we listen to my interview with Julia, we will feature an essay by Julia Butterfly Hill from Circle of Life Fall Winter 2005-2006 newsletter. It is read by Betty Hurst of Yad-Kiddushi Native Center. The essay is entitled Sacred Connection, Celebrate the Gift of Life. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin, to all of our relations.
Sacred Connection, Celebrate the Gift of Life, by Julia Butterfly Hill. We live in a complex world. It is a world that is hurting, broken, and dying, but also beautiful, magical, and exquisite beyond belief. So often, it seems, we view our world and our lives through a list of what is right and wrong, good and bad. We make a checklist of all we do not like, all we do, and all the things we should be working against, and occasionally the things we should be working for. In the midst of all these lists, we somehow lose the sacred. Our lives become a pendulum swing of judgment and self-righteousness. Our checkoff lists become our compass instead of a sense of sacred connection guiding our every thought, word, and action. We live our lives based on doing versus based on who we are being in our actions. And in this space, we all fall into choices that do not truly serve ourselves, our communities, or our planet. Yet, every choice we make has a thread that connects us to the entire world. For example, every paper cup has a thread, which connects to a factory, which connects to water, energy, and people, which connects to a tree, which connects to a forest, which connects to a watershed, which connects to animals, which connects to people. Every stand for human rights connects to people, who connect to a system which connects to power and those who have more access to it and those who have less, which connects to a child, who connects to a mother, who connects to a family, which connects to a community, which connects to a city, which connects to a state, which connects to a country, which connects to the world in which you live. There is no such thing as non-impact. Sacred connection is life. Disconnection from the sacred is all the ways in which we destroy, hurt, and oppress life. In our daily lives, this means recognizing that even the smallest action has powerful impact, that our actions are either leading towards the world we wish to live in or leading away from it. In community and in global life, this means recognizing that there is no such thing as other or them. There is only us. Sacred connection is that powerful, invisible thread that connects us to everything that ever was, is, and ever will be. Our unconscious choices are metaphorical scissors, cutting the thread and devastating life. Our conscious choices are outward and manifestations of who we are at our deepest level, embodying and creating sacred connection moment by moment. Sacred connection is a celebration of the magical, joy-filled, intense, overwhelming, breathtaking gift of life. May our every thought, word, and action honor sacred connection, and in so doing, remind us that all we truly have is who we are choosing to be in this moment.
Your host, Ones. I'm here with a very special person as our guest today, Julia Butterfly Hill. Most of our worldwide listeners do know who she is, but I will just, for the benefit of our international audience, ask Julia to please give a very brief background about who you are and some of the work you do with your Circle of Life Center.
Let's see. I always have a hard time explaining myself or describing myself. I always, it's a challenge, but I'll do my best. I am known for having spent 738 days living in the over 1,000-year-old ancient redwood in California. And I, during that time, started an organization called Circle of Life. The reason I was living in the tree was to work to keep it from being cut down. It was over a thousand, it is over 1,000 years old and was marked to be destroyed by the Pacific Lumber Maxam Corporation as they are continuing to destroy the last remnants of old growth in California. I chose to stay for a long time to try and call attention to the plight of not only the redwoods but the old growth forest worldwide. And I started Circle of Life while in the tree because I wanted to try and help create an organization that would take a lot of the attention and energy that got created around my tree sit and my time in the tree and actually take that energy and direct it back out. Because I tell people that if it just stops with me, it doesn't really help the world, that it's about all of us together. So Circle of Life, we work on many different projects, but our passion is to help people link. So we work on linking and connecting issues. We work on helping link and connect people to the different issues, to the different organizations, and organizations with each other. And a big part of our mission statement is to actually help people get connected in their daily lives, to start taking it personally. We have a really strong message about heart and spirit, that action has to come from the heart and spirit and not just the mind, that has to be a sacred path. Through that, we work on numerous campaigns. One of the campaigns we work on is with our partner, Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in California, working to shut down the California Youth Authority, which is how we're clear-cutting our youth out of the communities in California. Another one of our campaigns is a campaign to work on creating green jobs and creating those green jobs in the communities that need it most, because a lot of times ecological jobs and sustainability jobs are really being created and produced for people who already have access to education privilege and class privilege and these kinds of things. So that's one of our campaigns as well. But we have many different campaigns, but our passion is really to help people get active, who they are, where they are, and through the place of heart and spirit.
Thank you, my friend. Last night when you were speaking at Florida Gulf Coast University, I had an opportunity to ask one of the questions, which was about how do the tree relatives, the ancient elders, as we native people consider our trees as our teachers and elders, how do they speak to you? How you were able to hear their spirit? And in fact, before I came here this evening, when I was reading your book this afternoon, even your first day you started to climb, you for a moment had a little bit of, you might call fright, as I can imagine climbing that high, but it was you really putting your arms around that elder, Luna, the tree, and feeling her spirit and knowing that she was going to take care of you. Would you talk about your own personal spirit connection and spirit growth to Luna, and perhaps how the so-called Western people can learn to appreciate spirit more?
I've heard the very powerful saying of what many people consider resources, we the Native people consider relatives. And I think that all people have traditional roots, but many of us, including myself, had lost those traditional roots along the way of colonialism and the legacy that it's leaving in our world. And also just with people like me being European American, having my roots going in so many different directions, not being so far away from what traditional roots would be like for myself. And it took me climbing into the tree to reconnect with that understanding of as all of life being a relative, all of life being sacred. And in the tree, for me, it was when everything else began to fall away, when everything I thought I knew and everything I thought about the world began to fall away, all that was left was the sacred connection with the trees. And in that process, I learned how to listen. And in listening, I began to listen with all of my senses. That we are oftentimes taught that listening just happens through the ears, but that when listening happens with all the senses, then our spirit can hear the ancient elders, the spirit can hear the earth communicating to us. And I've learned so much from not only from that tree, but from that entire area that I was in and from that experience, such that since coming down, I've learned how to still be listening with all of my senses and walk around with the commitment to have the natural world communicate to me no matter where I am.
I know you got to get ready for your talk this evening, so perhaps my last question, besides thanking you, Yadkiddishu Native Center, we've been involved when English is called environmental justice, and myself, having lived and worked with tribal communities in different parts of the world, I'm a forest biologist by so-called Western education. I knew about your time in Ecuador. I physically was thrown out of Guatemala, so I share that with you. Would you just give a brief comment about your time in Ecuador and trying to help some of the indigenous peoples and village people fight against the oil pipeline and the desecration of sacred lands?
One of my commitments has been to utilize the attention and energy at me and direct it into the places and the communities and the people that need it most. And so for me, Ecuador was one of those places. Traditional people and the Ecuadorian people reached out to me and said, can you come and help? Can you try and help bring us some attention and energy? So I went there to document and to learn as well as to try and help bring attention. And what I saw and learned was heartbreaking. It almost looks like the oil pipeline developers looked on the map for the worst possible places they could put a pipeline and put a pipeline there. That they looked for the places that are most sacred to the people and they have bulldozed through it. They looked for the most pristine water sources and bulldozed through it. That they looked for the communities who are still living in a subsistence way, in a spiritual way with the land and bulldozed through it. So the time in Ecuador was to try and use the attention and energy to also highlight that over half of the oil being exported out of Ecuador comes to the United States for consumption. So as an American, it's my obligation, my joyful obligation to call attention to this and say we as Americans must change our behaviors and our habits because look at what's happening. And I think this is also part of the conversation around environmental racism, the idea of not in my backyard, people who want to protect nature and then they are driving around in SUVs and not realizing that SUV is connected to a thread and that thread is connected to the desecration of the sacred in Ecuador. I was very blessed to learn from the people there and to help bring attention to the cause and to these people. I continue to work as an ally from the United States, but I think it's going to be about 2 more years before I can get back in because I was forcibly deported. I actually refused deportation and made them carry me out of the country because I was arrested with 7 other Ecuadorians, and I said that I was in solidarity as an ally, and as long as they would be in jail, I was going to be in jail, and the government forced me to leave. So they literally carried me out of the country. I was really, really blessed in the time that I was there to work and to learn from the people, and I have a commitment that we will end our addiction to petroleum and help heal our planet and our sacred places and sacred people. Thank you.
By Native American flutist Mary Youngblood, accompanied by Joanne Shenandoah, from Mary's Silverware Record CD, entitled Heart of the World. The name of the song, Song for Ingrid, in memory of Menominee's sister, Ingrid Washinawatok, who, along with Terence Freitas and Lahani Gay, were murdered in Northeast Columbia in 1999 while they were engaged in human rights work in defense of the indigenous Hua people. Ingrid, Terrence, and Lahani were helping to build a school, as well as assisting the Uwa fight the government and energy companies from further desecrating and polluting tribal sacred land from oil development. Julia Butterfly Hill has a wonderful 2-CD set entitled Spiritual Activation, available for purchase from her Circle of Life merchandise items catalog. Beautifully recorded and produced by Sounds True, this 2-CD set captures Julia's hopes and message for a more sacred world. I want to now play an excerpt from this very special recording, which talks about creating sacred space.
I actually want to begin tonight by inviting us all to create sacred space. And when people hear that, they go, here comes the foo-foo new ager that I knew she was. But sacred space for me is about a space of intention, and a space where all of us, in all of our diversity, is honored and loved unconditionally. Because I feel that in our world, it's one of the things that's disappearing at an alarming rate. It is a form of everything that makes us good that's going extinct, and I feel it's my responsibility when I come to these gatherings to bring that back. Someone else agrees. The neat thing about sacred space is that we can all be in this space exactly as who we are. And for me, that means I'm going to close my eyes and go into a visual because that helps me ground and center as tonight unfolds. But for you, if that feels weird, keep your eyes open. If for you, that means standing, stand. If that for you means you don't like being in this room and you want to walk out until it's done, that's cool too. Sacred space is about honoring our diversity and embracing our diversity and coming into a place of intention where we reconnect ourselves with each and every one of us in this room, with each and every person on this planet, and with a planet that takes care of us so beautifully. So with that, I begin by taking the time just to notice my breathing, how often we take for granted the magic of every breath. Take a moment to not breathe and realize how quickly you start thinking about how magical breathing is. To my breath, as I feel my breath, I feel through that breath the connection of everything. I immediately think of the trees and how they're so much a part of it. And then I even begin to think about everything that's going on in the world that I don't even know of that's a part of what I'm breathing in right now and what I'm breathing out. And as I'm breathing, I go into my body and I give thanks. The Creator gave me this vessel right here, right now, in this time to use in service to the world. Gave me a consciousness to realize that my vessel is meant for service and how blessed I am to have come to that consciousness in my life. I wiggle my fingers and I feel how good it is to be able to wiggle them. When I almost lost them in my toes in frostbite, it made me realize how blessed I am to have my fingers and my toes that I used to take for granted. Being present in our bodies and giving gratitude even for the aches and pains and the struggles that come with these vessels, giving gratitude with how it brings us into focus and reminding us of how important it is to take care of our bodies, ourselves, and our world. I'd like for us to connect through our bodies into our chairs. Feel that earth that you are sitting on. It's been turned into a chair, but it is still earth. Feel the earth resources and the human resources that went into making that chair. And then I give thanks to this floor, the floor that our feet are on, and the earth and human resources that went into that. And I send all my love and all my gratitude to the people who are part of creating this space in which we now share. And then through the floor, I reach out and I ask to feel the earth. And I give thanks and I give honor to the original inhabitants of this space. The one-legged, the four-legged, the wing, the fin, the spirits. And then I give thanks for the two-leggeds, the original peoples of this place. And I ask that we never forget what happened to them. And that we work to make sure that never happens again. I give gratitude for the lessons they continue to teach us about a way of walking as one with the earth, with the water, with the sky, with the animals, and with each other. I give humble gratitude and love to this sacred space and to all of its original inhabitants. And then I give thanks to all of the inhabitants here this evening, each of us with our own stories and our own experiences that make us who we are, the good and the bad. Those things that make us want to be closed off to each other and say, oh, that's silly, I don't want to do this. Those things we embrace too. And those things about us that would draw us here tonight to give of our hearts, to give of our passion, to a commitment, to a vision of a world that we want to live in and that we want to pass down to our children and their children. For all these things, I give thanks. Then I ask that all of you, right now, in your minds, bring in a person or a place, people or a place that is not here with us tonight, because they've either passed on or because they just can't be here. For whatever reasons they're not here, if you'd like to bring them into the space tonight so we can share in all of that together, bring them into your consciousness and hold them in that space tonight as we gather and share together. And as this month is Black History Month, I pray special honor and love and gratitude to the people of color of this place for the struggles they've gone through the oppression that they continue to struggle through. May we realize all of our lives are intertwined and that the struggle of one is the struggle of all and the freedom of one is the freedom of all. And as we honor these people, may we honor in ourselves the ability to speak up and stand out when we see an injustice from people of African-American descent and all original peoples. When we see the separations that happen because of the color of our skin, may we use it as a way of calling ourselves to speak out when something is happening that is unjust towards another human being. Now I return to my breath, and I give thanks again for that breath, the source of all life, and for how that connects us all. And as I take that breath in, I visualize it going into my blood, feeding the life force into my body. And then I trace my blood as it goes to my heart. The heart of the matter, we say in this country, is about getting down to the source. May this moment and every moment be about going to the source, where our highest selves, and our highest truth lies waiting for us to step in, immerse ourselves, and step forward in the beauty and the love and the joy that we all are. Thank you. Thanks for allowing that time. In whatever way you went through it, thank you for taking that moment and for honoring that. In whatever way you did. So I really believe that so much of our life is about getting us away from that, taking intentional time together. And I found one of my most profound lessons in Luna was that I sat in one place for 2 years and I couldn't go anywhere. And I couldn't sidetrack myself with movies and with shopping and with partying and with this and that. It made me focus in to the point where even my breath became a total miracle. I was going through it. It was like, oh, thank you for the breath. I have nothing else left, but thank you for the breath. And so I think it's because of that that it's really important for me to take that time to bring intention. And for me, it's about why I do this work. I really, everything I do is about coming from my heart in an honoring of the sacred. And I believe it's crucial, especially for us as young people, for us to bring it back into the world and demand that coming from a place of love and honoring the sacred is the most important thing. Much more important than how fat somebody's bank account is and how loud and big somebody's car is. What's more important is what's inside. I'm glad you think so, because that means it's, I have some teammates out there. That's a good thing.